Well, this is actually an interesting day because this was our spring forward daylight savings time. And by the way, in last week's recording, for all of you who are listening on the internet, quite a few of you do that, I made the faux pas of saying it was the last day in February. But it wasn't, of course. So sometimes we get the dates wrong on things, but hopefully you'll understand. So we're going to ask this morning, as always, that Deacon Sullivan will have a rousing prayer for us on this day.
Father God, Lord, thank you for loving us and saving us. We praise you, and we're so grateful that you can have us gather here as a family and worship you. I ask that you send the Holy Spirit so we may discern today from your word that which you would have us discern. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we need to get the breath of life in us. One of the things, of course, that people have found out is by singing actively, it actually does you a lot of good in releasing endorphins in your body and feeling better. And of course, God inhabits the praise of his people. Where the Lord is, there is healing in his wings, so to speak. Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. For he is good, he is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, his love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever and ever and ever. From the rising to the setting sun, his love endures forever. And by the grace of God we'll carry on. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Forever God is faithful, forever my God is strong. Forever God is with us, forever and ever, forever. I'm trading my sorrows, I'm trading my shame, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness, I'm trading my shame, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. And I say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. And it begs the question, from a song like that, who would not want to trade their sorrows and their shame and lay them down for the joy of the Lord? But the truth of the matter is, and there are people who want to stay sick. They want to stay ashamed. They don't want to lay them down for the joy of the Lord. And you ask yourself, well, why would somebody want to be in that position? But after they've done that so long, it's kind of hard to imagine that there could be such a joyous situation as laying down your baggage. Yeah. Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto the Ancient of Days. All of creation from every nation, bow before the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne in worship. You alone are exalted on high, and your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days. Your kingdom shall reign over all the earth. Sing unto the Ancient of Days, for none can compare it to your matchless worth. Bow before the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne in worship. You alone are exalted on high, and your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days. Think about that. Every tongue in heaven shall declare the glory of the Lord. Every knee shall bow at the Lord's throne in worship. You alone are exalted on high. What a glorious time that will be. I am certainly looking forward to that, and can only just imagine how wonderful that would be. Jesus, lover of my soul, Jesus, I will never let you go. You've taken me from the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and now I know I love you, I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end. In the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, Prince of Peace, troubles vanish, hearts are mended. In the presence of the King, one thing have I desired of you, Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in His temple, the temple of the Lord, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in His temple, the temple of the Lord. Be Thou my vision, O Lord of my heart, not be all else to me, save that Thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night, waking or sleeping, Thy presence my light. Be Thou my wisdom, and Thou my true word, I ever with Thee, and Thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, and I Thy true Son. Thou in my dwelling, and I with Thee one. Riches I need not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, both now and always. Thou and Thou only, first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure Thou art. High King of heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joy, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever. still be my vision, O ruler of all. Still be my vision, O ruler of all. When you think about that, where we're told in numerous places, where there is no vision, the people perish. And of course, the idea would be, even if there is a vision, if it's a wrong vision, the people will perish as well. Because the vision that is going to keep us on track is the vision of Jesus Christ, ruler of all, which is true. That's a vision that's a true vision. It's not a revision, it's a true vision. And we need that. Well, as always, when I like to give you a little brief from history and some other situations going on. Interestingly enough, from the newsletter I get frequently here, Satanists sue to stop pro-life law. Satanists are fighting to repeal a Missouri law that informs women an abortion kills a separate, unique, living human being. The Satanic Temple in Jefferson City announced its third lawsuit against Missouri abortion regulations on Tuesday, asserting the informed consent law, stating abortion kills human beings, is factually inaccurate and designed to dissuade women from getting an abortion. With the bald, theocratic imposition of abortion restrictions into Missouri state law and a continued expansion of religious privilege and exemption, Missouri lawmakers are going to be forced to accept that there are religious perspectives just as deeply held that may directly contradict their own religious beliefs and directives. So that's a pretty interesting situation. That, of course, they're looking at Satanism as a religion. And the Satanic Temple is mistaken, of course, in claiming its First Amendment rights are being violated because the law is based on scientific facts, not religious beliefs. The informed consent law is based on scientific facts, not Christian or Jewish or Buddhist or any other religion beliefs. Specifically, it's well established that a unique, new human life comes into being at the moment of conception. So there is another issue of course, Planned Parenthood involved, receives approximately $500 million taxpayer dollars every year and performs about 320,000 abortions annually. And so you look at that, here we have Satanists trying to continue, and of course, in a sense, abortion is like a sacrifice of a human being. Trump conservative media, most Republicans are practically asking God to destroy America. No matter which president or party is in power, there's one area that there's no repentance. President Trump has appointed an open sodomite to represent these United States of America as an ambassador to Germany. The conservative media source for this sodomite puff piece is trying to push through the confirmation, as will most Republicans. And they are blaming Democrats for obstructing this vile appointment. Without repentance, the sodomite issue alone will result in complete destruction of this country. Which Democrat is obstructing confirmation on Trump's openly gay nominee for ambassador to Germany? Accordingly, an interesting fact that the fate of Richard Grenell, that's President Trump's nominee for ambassador to Germany, was revealed Tuesday on the Hugh Hewitt show. Hewitt began an interview with Senator Lindsey Graham with a question on the fate of Grenell's nomination, and basically Hewitt said Rick Grenell not getting confirmed is an embarrassment. Jen Spahn is going to be the new chancellor, and we don't have an ambassador over there, and Rick is the perfect guy. Would you go to the leader and get that scheduled? And Graham said, yes, I agree with you. Will you go and ask him to get it scheduled? Sure. 30 hours is not much to ask to have the most powerful non-nuclear nation in the world have an ambassador. I just can't get over this. Is there any hold on him, Senator Graham? Yes, I think so. And who would be the author of that hold? Graham, I can't tell you, don't know. You don't have to disclose then. Oh, and so you'd be willing to push for a break in that tradition on that? This is dangerous, actually. Senator Graham, I'll go to Mitch. Your point is well taken. And one thing you can do is you can push out somebody that has a hold. If you actually bring it to the floor, you smoke them out. So Grinnell is one of over 100 Trump nominees who have been approved in committee and are waiting for the floor vote to finalize their confirmation. So, isn't that something? Of course, it wouldn't be the first time because we sent an ambassador before under George W. Bush, I think, was also a homosexual and sent to a country that doesn't appreciate homosexuals. Now, how about a little something from Tech News? This is Google providing artificial intelligence technology to the Defense Department's algorithmic warfare. Google censors everyone not sympathetic to its technocrat ideology, but has no problem working with fellow technocrats at the Department of Defense. In his farewell speech, President Dwight Eisenhower warned America about the military-industrial complex and then about the scientific elite exerting power over society. This story indicates that they have merged together quite naturally. Smart grid, smart structures, key to the lifting world out of poverty. Scientists now using pig organs for transplants in humans. To qualify, the pigs must be first tested for 40 different kinds of viruses to prevent unwanted infections. There will be no widespread testing before this practice becomes routine. Wow. First artificial meat, now artificial milk, all without cows. Tech is transforming millennials into a generation of hunchbacks. Uber's self-driving trucks are delivering freight in Arizona. So, that's some pretty exciting stuff, isn't it? Scary, isn't it? I think it is, but we continue to trust the Lord. And from a history point of view today, do you know Old Ironsides? It's the nickname of the three-masted frigate USS Constitution, which is the oldest commissioned ship in the world still afloat. And of course, you can see that down in Charlestown near the Navy Yard here, not far away from us. And it's very well kept up. And of course, many visitors go and see it. Muslim Barbary pirates of North Africa had captured the American ships Polly, Betsy, Maria, Dauphin, and Philadelphia. The USS Constitution was sent to fight the Muslim pirates in the First Barbary War of 1803, the Battle of Tripoli Harbor 1804, and the Battle of Durn 1805. When the USS Constitution returned, Francis Scott Key wrote the poem, When the Warrior Returns from the Battle Afar, which was published in Boston's Independent Chronicle, December 30, 1805. Key wrote it to the same tune which 9 years later had been used for the Star-Spangled Banner. In conflict, Restless each toil they endured, till their foes shrunk dismayed from the war's desolation. And pale beamed the crescent, its splendor occurred by the light of the star-spangled flag of our nation. Where each flaming star gleamed a meteor of war, and the turbaned head bowed to the terrible glare, then mixed with olive and the laurel shall wave and form a bright wreath from the brow of the brave. The U.S. Constitution sailed against the British in the War of 1812 and caught slave traders off the coast of Africa in the 1850s. USS Constitution was about to be decommissioned and broken into scraps when it was saved by a poem titled Old Ironsides, written by poet Dr. Oliver Wendell Holmes, Sr. Her deck red with heroes' blood, where knelt the vanquished foe, when winds were hurried o'er the flood and waves were white below. As dean of the Harvard Medical School, Dr. Oliver Wendell Holmes, Sr. was known for proposing that diseases were spread person to person, a theory which predated the discovery of germs. Dr. Holmes caused a controversy by trying to admit the women and the first African Americans to Harvard Medical School. Dr. Holmes invented the American stereoscope, which was a 19th century handheld device to view 3D pictures. Dr. Oliver Wendell Holmes, Sr. wrote a poem about Pilgrim Pastor John Robinson of Leyden, published in the Professor at the Breakfast Table, 1860. Before the Speedwell's anchor swung, ere yet the Mayflower's sail was spread, while round his feet the pilgrims clung, the pastor spake, and thus he said, "Ye go to bear the saving word to tribes unnamed and shores untrod. Heed well the lessons you've heard from these old teachers taught of God." It was Dr. Holmes' son, Oliver Wendell Holmes, Jr., who was born March 8, 1841. Holmes, Jr. graduated from Harvard and enlisted in the Army against his father's wishes. He was injured in the Civil War 3 times, including a gunshot wound to the chest at the Battle of Ball's Bluff, October 1861. Holmes, Jr. edited the American Law Review and was a Harvard Law professor and Chief Justice of the Massachusetts Supreme Court. And by the way, he certainly had a beautiful mustache, one of those, what they call, handlebar mustaches. Yes. In 1902, Theodore Roosevelt appointed Oliver Wendell Holmes, Jr. to the U.S. Supreme Court. Known as the Great Dissenter, for of his unconventional opinions advocating broad freedom of speech, he served over 30 years to a more advanced age than any other justice. Oliver Wendell Holmes, Jr. replied to a reporter on his 90th birthday, March 8, 1931. "Young man, the secret of my success is that at an early age I discovered I was not God." So I'm not going to read on more from there. I think that's a good place to leave this historical situation. I'll read it again. "Young man, the secret of my success is that at an early age I discovered I was not God." And of course I pray that all of us have already discovered that. Took me a while to discover that. And it's interesting also that the father, Oliver Wendell Holmes, Sr., wrote a poem at the start of the Civil War titled "To Canaan, a Puritan War Song." That was published in Boston, April 12, 1862. "Where are you going, soldiers, with banner, gun, and sword? We're marching south to Canaan to battle for the Lord." "What captain leads your army along the rebel coast? The mighty one of Israel, his name is Lord of Hosts. To Canaan, the Lord has led us forth. to blow before the heathen walls the trumpets of the north. What song is this you're singing? The same that Israel sung when Moses led the mighty choir and Miriam's timbrel rung. So, beautiful poetry, don't you think? All right. I'm going to ask you to turn in your copy of the Bible to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Which is page number 1724 in my copy of the Bible. Yeah. The second letter of Paul to the Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. We have in this chapter eighteen verses. So, each of us, so we have four readers today. Each read four, and I'll read the last two, the last six, actually. Okay? Ready? Starting to my left.
So, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4 from the English Standard Version. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored, as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men. For not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we command. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4 from the English Standard Version.
I'm reading from the English Standard Version, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with tradition that you receive from us. For you yourselves know how we ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you. Nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with toil and labor we worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. I read from the English Standard Version, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 5 through 8.
And continuing from the English Standard Version, verses 9 through 13. It was not because we do not have that right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command: if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. Mm-hmm. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. That was from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 9 through 12.
Okay, and I'm reading from the English Standard Version, 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. If anyone does not obey what we say in this letter, take note of that person, and have nothing to do with him, that he may be ashamed. But do not regard him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. This is the sign of genuineness in every letter of mine. It is the way I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And I've just read from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. Draw your attention to that last part of the chapter, which is, if you're ever looking, if you're ever in a situation where you need, somebody's called upon you to deliver the benediction, then you would consider going to something like this. This is a beautiful benediction. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all. And of course, sending off benediction is sending people off with the blessing. What a blessing to think that first of all, the Lord of peace himself, and who is the Lord of peace? We know Jesus is the Lord of peace. He will give you peace at all times in every way. At all times in every way. That covers it all, doesn't it? I mean, it covers everything we get into, all the situations we find ourselves in, that the Lord has provided peace for us even in those situations. And that's very important that we can testify to that. And of course, the commendation of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Of course, we know the "with you all" is talking about all those that are obedient to the Lord. Now, let's back up a little bit here to verse number 13. And I hope that you recognize that verse when you see it as being also the same that you would find in reading about spiritual warfare in Galatians chapter 6. If you look at Galatians chapter 6 just briefly, Ephesians, Galatians, Colossians, Galatians chapter 6, if anybody finds that, okay, Galatians chapter 6, at verse 9, there you see the same verse, and let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not give up. So there you have a very similar verse to what we've just read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And so I guess the question that I might ask you today, and for all those with us, in the many ways they come to be with us, how weary are you? I suppose we could say, are you weary at all? And most people, oh, I'm not weary. Oh, really? But the question is, are you not weary in well-doing, and how weary are you? Because it's not easy to continue doing good things in amongst the people who are not doing good things, and the troubles that are surrounding us. And of course, as we have read some of the things from those newsletters that I cited earlier, there's some crazy stuff going on that we obviously are in the middle of. And so staying from being weary, or keep from being weary, is not an easy thing to do. We get weary in doing well, and of course sometimes people, in being weary in doing well, decide not to do so well at all. And as Galatians chapter 6 says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap, if you faint not, or if you don't give up. And so the issue is, we know that something is going to be happening. something is happening. We know, and we're in the Lenten season right now, depending on what Christian discipline somebody follows, and we're soon to be celebrating Easter resurrection time. And of course, if there was ever an issue of recognizing how important it is to know that there are other things going to happen, that Jesus rose from the dead, but Jesus also said, I will return, so that the second advent could be any time at all. So if we weary not in well-doing, then in due season we shall reap, if we faint not, or if we don't give up. And so asking the question, how weary are you? And of course, most of us, as we get towards the end of our day, and sometimes you feel like you've been a tennis ball that's been batted back and forth across the net, you'd be weary. And of course, the Lord has made provision for that, that we could lay down and sleep. Rest the body, but also resting the body is resting our minds and our hearts too, so that we can arise with the Lord. And of course, as the song says in Psalms, joy cometh in the morning. And of course, as we sang the song, I'm trading my sickness, I'm trading my sorrows for the joy of the Lord. There are a lot of those things that try to attach themselves to us. You know, they kind of put a saddle on us and want to ride us. But of course, the Lord wants us to have His joy each morning when we get up. And I'm thankful to say that, though I should voice it more, like first thing when I open my eyes, I should be saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this new day. Thank you for the new opportunity. And we do pray. Kathy and I pray each morning as we're in morning devotions and studying Scripture. We pray, Lord, we've got a lot to do today. Please use us. And of course, when we had a situation the other day, it was a perfect example. We get down to the clinic, and I was supposed to have a blood draw and see the hematologist. And they said, the woman Cheryl at the desk said, well, Garrett, it is you, isn't it? And I said, yes, it's me. And she said, I don't have anything scheduled for you today. I said, oh, no, that's not right. We're scheduled.
Hematologist?
Hematologist is somebody who deals with blood. Yeah, they're the ones that, that's their thing, studying the human blood. So anyway, Kathy went back and talked to the doctor's scheduler, Vicky, and Vicky said, oh, I'm so sorry, this is a mistake I made. I put you down at the wrong date, and we have you down as no-shows. So I went back out to Cheryl and I said, can you straighten that out? She said, oh yeah. But I said, because I don't like having on my record that I'm a no-show. That's not true. And she said, I know it's not true. You're never late. You're always here in time and whatever else. So she said, we'll straighten that out. Well, later in talking to Vicky, she said, I'm so, so sorry. Most people would be just totally mad at me and would be yelling at me or something like that. And I thought, well, there's a situation we prayed for this morning, that we could think redemptively, that we would not be so weary and well-doing that we'd be angry and upset with that poor woman who had plenty enough to do. So she noticed there was a difference. Now the question is, how would she, and she knows that we're Christians, she has to look at it and say, okay, because they're Christians, and because they're forgiving, and because the joy of the Lord is their strength, that they didn't come down on me like a ton of bricks and yell at me and accuse me of things. And I suppose, to a certain degree, if we really wanted to be nasty, we could probably hurt her in some way you know, reporting her to somebody, getting her into trouble. So she has to feel the forgiveness and the grace of the Lord. And remember at the end of 2 Thessalonians chapter 5 there, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. So it is our desire that we will be used of the Lord. And how did he use us? Well, there's the way he used us, to express his grace to somebody else. So we're thankful for that opportunity and look for more. There'll be more and more opportunities to do that. And so as I ask the question, how weary are you? You know, if you're weary at the start of your day, then maybe you didn't offload some of those things that the Lord's thrown a grace before you went to bed. It's one of the reasons why, for example, in Ephesians it says, never let the sun go down on your anger. Well, what does that mean? Because if you let the sun go down on your anger and you stew about it all night long, when you wake up in the morning, joy is not going to be, the joy of the Lord is not going to be your strength. You're going to be really weary and continue to be weary. And of course, with some people, they continue in weariness, and that brings them to make decisions that are very bad. It'll only get them in trouble. So we thank you, Lord, for using us. Thank you, Lord, for keeping us strong, for helping us through the opportunities we have so that we can each and every day say, the joy of the Lord is my strength, and the Lord's grace is upon me, and that we can reach forward to other people to show them that joy is real, the Lord's grace is real, and that Jesus will come again, and Jesus will do exactly what he said he was going to do. And we don't have to try to make him prove it, as we do with many people who make promises and just don't keep them. The Lord has made his promises, and he will definitely keep them. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. We'll have no other king but King Jesus, for sure. Amen.